cost looks differently for each of us, depending on how God calls us. But that could mean letting go of earthly wealth, letting go of careers, relationships, retirements, or even our dreams. It could mean completely losing the life we thought was in store for us. Jesus says as much directly to his disciples. For those who want to save their life will lose it, he tells them. Holding on to what we think is best means holding on to an imitation of life. Holding on to our bank account, our newest phone, the coolest car, the highest promotion is only a pale imitation of true life. Now, thank God Jesus doesn't stop there and continues. Those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. The amazing, incredible, phenomenal mystery is that in letting go of what we think will fill us, though scary and uncertain, does in fact lead to everlasting life. Just think about all the stories we share of people in our faith family journeying to a different place, whether that's Tacoma or Tijuana, and doing so for the sake of serving others. Building houses, hearing stories, sitting with the hurting, cradling babies, leveling out worship pews. They are following Jesus. They are blessings and are being blessed by so many other people within God's world. And yet, this kind of service has a cost. So many have experienced after a journey like this that coming home feels very different. The comfort in a daily latte is no longer there after learning how coffee is harvested and the body-breaking work that goes into it. The joy of a simple strawberry and a bowl of cereal is suddenly haunted by the memory of breaking bread with migrant workers and hearing their stories. The relief of retail therapy becomes thick with poison after learning of quick fashion and seeing the toll it takes on poor communities where clothing factories dominate the landscape and where child labor runs rampant. These journeys are costly. And I have never met someone who has said, "I wish I hadn't gone." They are costly. But those new relationships and those new stories enrich our lives in such a way that life feels bigger, fuller, and inexplicably even more joyful. Now, I'm not saying that giving up a daily latte or a funky pair of shoes is suffering. Far from it. I am saying that we are focusing on the wrong thing if we believe that God wants any suffering to happen, and if we believe that following Jesus is easy. Jesus is under no pretense of what this lifestyle costs, but neither is he hiding what it has to offer. Following Jesus, picking up that cross, is heavy, holy work. It will bless us, and it will hurt. The really confusing mystery in all of this is the additional truth that sometimes suffering really does draw us closer to God. When we are at our lowest, when we are hurting the most, when we are no longer convinced that we can figure it out ourselves or that we're doing okay on our own, it is the definition of life-saving to feel God draw close in those moments. Suffering doesn't cleanse us so we are somehow worthy to be noticed by God. God simply cannot stay away from a hurting heart. Grief and sorrow, hurt and shame are like magnets for God's love. God can't help themselves when they see a kid sitting alone on a playground, or a mother carrying her child through the wilderness in the hope of safety, or when someone reaches for a hand that isn't there anymore. God cannot stay away from a hurting heart. That is the hope and the promise that we cling to here in our Lenten journey and throughout our lives. That when we feel we are lost to all hope or dead in the valley of despair, God finds us and sits with us, holding space for our hurts, bearing witness to our grief, and holding us close. And miraculously, inexplicably, God calls forth life from our most barren valleys. Now that is the good news. That is the gospel. That is the lifelong promise we cling to now and forever. Thanks be to God. Amen.